Before I start, let me just say a prayer. Father, as we open your word and explore it together today, we pray that you would open our hearts and our ears to hear and receive what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start today by asking you two questions, and I'm going to ask you to talk, so I'd like to prepare you for that now. But it will be short. We'll get this out of the way with first. The first question is, to help us set the context, who is someone that you think of as a great leader? So it could be the leader of a company, or like a prime minister, or a political leader, or it could be somebody like a pastor, a teacher, a speaker. The kind of leader I'm thinking of is somebody who's made noticeable change either in the world or in a smaller community. So what do you think of when you think of somebody like that? You can just shout it out. Pastor Bob? Sorry? Mm-hmm. Steve Jobs?
Mayor Robin.
Mayor Robin. Any more? John Tory is the mayor of Toronto. So the second question I have is a little bit more personal, and this might mean something different to each one of us, but who's someone that you draw strength from? This could be a mentor who teaches you things, or it could be a close friend or family member who you call when things are hard. If you're comfortable sharing who this is, just shout it out for us. Your wife. Your mother?
Pastor Bob.
Pastor Bob. I wanted us to think about these two people, this leader and the person we draw strength from, because they help us to understand the story that I read earlier today and the impact of what happens. So let me give you a little bit of a refresher for where this story happens. We're right in the middle of one of the low points in Israel's history. Israel was ruled over by a king named Ahab, who led Israel away from worshiping God and into worshiping an idol named Baal. Beyond the worship part of things, Ahab was a selfish person who would take what he wanted no matter what it meant doing. Ahab acted like the land of Israel was his personal kingdom instead of God's kingdom. Now, during Ahab's time as king, Elijah, who is the prophet in our story, had been raised up to challenge his rule, his evil, his behavior. Elijah criticized Ahab and his queen in front of all of the people. He pointed out Ahab's sin and announced God's judgment on the land in the form of a famine. They had a famine for 3 years. Even when the whole nation of Israel seemed to have fallen away from God, Elijah called the people back to worship God. But the burden of being God's prophet had worn out Elijah, and he had asked God if he could retire. And amazingly, God said yes, and he sent Elisha to be with Elijah, and eventually to succeed him. So I mentioned those two people at the beginning, that leader and that person we draw strength from, because this gives us a sense of how Elisha would have thought about Elijah. From Elisha's perspective, Elijah's done so much for Israel. He's a one-man army holding back all the forces of darkness coming from King Ahab. He's the only thing keeping the nation from completely falling apart. He's a leader, and without him, it's hard to say where Israel would be. And at the same time, Elijah's also Elisha's mentor. Since coming together, they've spent all of this time together, and I can only imagine the kind of friendship and relationship and conversations that they've had together. Can you imagine suddenly being called to be Elijah's apprentice? This is the most famous prophet in all of Israel, and he wants to hang out with you. You would probably just soak up everything that he did. And as they spent time together, Elisha must have begun to draw so much strength from Elijah. When he thought about the future, he could not imagine how he'd survive without him. I'm sure you can imagine for those people, for you, what that would be like. Elijah is the righteous prophet of Israel. He is the greatest teacher Elisha has ever had. But Elijah is retiring, and that would be frightening. Think about it from Elisha's perspective. if you had just been called as Elijah's apprentice, and then suddenly he was saying that he was going to go away, you'd be afraid. Here's a man holding the whole country together by the strength of his will, and he's showing you what he does, and now he's asking you to imagine a world without him. I think we know this feeling, this fear. On a large scale, we know what it's like to see strong leaders step down or announce that they're close to death. We know the fear that comes after political assassinations. We know this feeling when leaders in our community step down, when a pastor leaves a church, or when someone at work who keeps things running announces that they're retiring. There's this fear of what will happen in the future, and I think sometimes it leads us to question God. God, what will happen next? Are you still in control? And then on a smaller scale, there's the fear that comes when we lose those people who give us strength, when our closest friend announces that they are moving away from us, or our parents enter a stage of life where age begins to take them away. These are people that we draw strength from in our lives. When we spend time with them, we feel renewed and refreshed. When we think about losing them, we're afraid because we don't know where we'll find the strength to do what they help us with. In the story, Elijah asks Elisha what it is that he wants. Why are you still following me, Elisha? And Elisha's probably thinking, what kind of a question is that? I'm still following you because I'm afraid of what comes next. I'm afraid of what will happen to our people when you're not here to call them back to worship God. I'm afraid of how I will hear from God and do his work. As he's thinking about this, Elisha forms his thoughts into a request. Give me a portion of your spirit. Make me inherit what it is that enables you to do what you do. When Elijah is lifted up into heaven by the flaming chariots, there's a moment where Elisha cries out in fear one last time. But then he picks up Elijah's cloak, heads back towards the river, and strikes the river. And miraculously, the water splits in two, just as it did with Elijah. Elisha has received from God the spirit of Elijah. As Elisha wipes the tears away from his eyes, he breathes a sigh of relief, knowing that the work of Elijah will continue, and he has the strength that he needs to do that. In the end, it turned out all right, but was there ever really any danger that it wouldn't? Elijah's last words to Elisha make it sound like things might not work out. Like, I think of it this way. If you see me depart, you will receive my spirit, but if you don't receive my spirit, you'll be alone and frightened in a country about to tear itself apart. But let's think about some details of this story. When Elijah journeys with Elisha, they go to Bethel, and then they go to Jericho, and then they go to the Jordan River, and they cross over on dry land to the east side of the river. Does that remind you maybe of another journey in Israel's history? When Israel was in the desert with Moses, the last place Moses was on the east side of the Jordan River. That's where he died. And after he died, the people crossed over the Jordan River on dry land, and they went to Jericho, and they conquered it, and then they moved on to Bethel. It's not a coincidence. The biblical author is giving us a reminder that God has always been watching over Israel. He was with them when they entered the promised land with Joshua. He has been with them through Elijah, and he will continue to be with them even after Elijah is gone. He is always bringing up people to carry out his work, and he is empowering them with his spirit so that they have the strength to do what God asks them. Like Elisha, sometimes we can feel a little bit dependent on these empowered people in our communities and in our lives. We come to rely on the leadership of these people in the community, and we kind of sit back and enjoy the work that they're doing. We rely on the strength and wisdom of mentors and close friends. We can get to a place where we think, how could we ever live without them? As though God's work depends on having a select few people do a few important things. But if we can learn one thing from this story of Elijah's flaming retirement party, It's that God's work is greater than any one person. And more importantly, it's God's Spirit which gives us the strength to do those things that God asks of us. That's what Elisha received from when Elijah was taken away, and it's what enabled him to continue the work of Elijah. It's true, it's sad when we lose these people who are great leaders, or when we lose people who are close to us. But it shouldn't scare us. We can have peace knowing that God watches over our lives and over the world that he created. And through the work of his Holy Spirit, he will raise up other people to fill the voids that are sometimes created. Let me give you another place in Scripture where this happens. Think about Jesus and his disciples. When the disciples were with Jesus, I imagine they felt exactly the same way about Jesus as Elisha did about Elijah. There's this mix of awe and wonder about the person that they're spending time with. Jesus had a leadership quality which would change the nation in some way. His teaching was something that was beyond them and that strengthened them. And I can only imagine the fear that they experienced when he ascended up into heaven and just disappeared. How were they supposed to survive without him? What were they going to teach the people? But God answered their questions by sending his Holy Spirit to them as a gift to the whole church. Through the power of the Spirit, the disciples suddenly became these bold, dynamic people who preached the gospel and sought justice and shared Jesus with all kinds of different people. Brothers and sisters, we are part of the same church that the disciples were a part of, and we have been given that same Spirit that they received. It's the same Spirit that Elijah and Elisha received. And that means that we have access to all the strength that those people received even in their times of greatest struggle and trial. But I also think it's important to understand that the Spirit's work in people comes in many forms. So let me tell you a story about a woman in my church. She's one of our deacons, and she's kind of an anchor in our church community. I mentioned this story, this woman in particular, because about 12 years ago, her husband, who was an elder and a significant leader in our church community, passed away, and it was an important moment in her life. So last year, I was working in our church, and I was trying to promote more community activities, and I came up with this idea of showing a movie in my apartment for people at church, and then maybe having a discussion afterwards. The movie was a movie called Arrival with Amy Adams, and it's one of my favorite movies. I love this movie so much. I've cried twice in the last 5 years. Both times have been watching this movie. And so I was excited about this. I was excited to share something that had impacted my life with other people in the church and to talk about it and to share. So I reorganized our whole living room, and I made space for 20 chairs, and I set up things kind of like a movie theater, and everything was ready. And then when the time came to show the movie, I realized I may have misjudged my audience a little bit. Only 5 people came to watch the movie. And at the end of the movie, none of them understood why I loved it so much. I felt a little bit discouraged. As everyone was leaving, this deacon mentioned she would probably get it out of the library to watch it again so she could understand it. And I thought, she's probably just saying that to be polite. But about a month later, I scheduled a discussion of the movie, thinking maybe other people had seen it and would want to talk about it. So I made a pot of chili, and I invited anyone who wanted to talk about the movie over to our apartment after church, and this deacon was the only one who came. And so my wife and I sat in the living room with her, unsure of how the conversation would go. It turns out that she had taken the movie out at the library and watched it again in its entirety. It's a 2-hour movie. And she asked me to share what I thought was so powerful. We had a wonderful discussion. We talked about life and death and love and loss. It was short, but it was very meaningful. And at the end of that time, I felt so encouraged. As I think about the work of the Spirit in people's lives, I thought about this story because when I think about that conversation with this deacon, I think she's showing what it means to have God's Spirit working in our lives. So let me end with this. When you lose someone close to you, or when someone leaves you or passes on, remember that God has strength for you through his Spirit to keep going. He will bring new people around you, and he'll find other ways to fill you with strength. Though you may be sad at the loss, there's a reason to have courage. God gives us the strength to move on to what happens next. God is always with us. And then also, when there's a change in leadership, or when someone we have relied on as a community leaves, listen to the Spirit and ask if maybe it is calling you to step in and partner in its work in the world. God is always at work among us in all kinds of ways, and he calls and equips people to help him with that work. Though you may not see how things can go on, God sends his Spirit to help us with that. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the leaders in all levels of our community. We thank you for those people who we personally draw strength from. And we also thank you for the gift of your Spirit to help us to continue on when we lose these people. We pray that you would help us to draw strength from your Spirit and help us to see where we can help you with your work in our world. Amen.